I'm Chris Lovelace. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Psychology. And among other things, I teach the Psych 361 biopsychology class. It's a class that's required of all the psychology majors. And for a while, we've been doing a sheep's brain dissection. It gives the students an opportunity to kind of see what a brain is like in three dimensions. In class, we see lots of pictures of brains, but it's very difficult to get a sense of how the brain is organized in 3D just from those two-dimensional pictures. So we've been doing the sheep's brain dissection, and that's very useful. I had mentioned to the university president, President Hendricks, how transformative an experience it was for me as a graduate student to get to see and hold an actual human brain. There's something about holding an actual human brain. It used to be a person that is really a remarkable experience. Through her contacts, she was able to procure for the university a human brain specimen. And it was a brain from someone who had donated it for scientific and educational use. So now we have that available to show to students in my biopsychology class. That's also available through Dr. Carol Plautz in the biology department for students taking classes over there to have the opportunity to see and hold this human brain. And so that's what we did yesterday in class. We met in Dr. Plautz's lab, and the students had the opportunity to see the brain. And we did a brief review. I went through and made them name the different structures that we've been studying in class, just to give them an idea of where everything is located. And then they got the opportunity to hold the brain themselves.
Now, you began the class by introducing a little bit about the brain. Explain who the brain belonged to.
So one of the things that I feel strongly about in doing something like that is treating this piece of tissue with respect. This used to be a person. This is not a lump of nothing. This used to be somebody with thoughts and feelings. None of their neurons are still there. The neurons are long gone. It's just connective tissue, but still, it deserves to be treated with respect. So I tried to imprint that on the students. We know a little bit about the person who donated the brain. Obviously, for their confidentiality and privacy, we don't know who they were, but I do know it was a 62-year-old man who had died, I believe, of a heart attack.
The students seemed, they were pretty excited about this, weren't they?
They were very excited. I've never seen so many cell phones pulled out in any class I've ever taught as yesterday. So I think it was as powerful an experience for them as I remember it being for me.
Does it make you feel good to know that you had that kind of an impact through your class?
Absolutely. That's mission accomplished as far as I'm concerned. This is not something that students at any old university are going to be able to do. That's a pretty unique experience. I never got to do that as an undergraduate student, and I went to a pretty good school. It's just not something that's widely available as far as I know. So it's a pretty unique experience.
How does seeing the brain and being able to handle it help students who would go into, their careers in psychology?
If you're studying psychology, you're studying human behavior. Human thinking, feeling, and behaving. And the source of all of our thinking, feeling, and behaving is the brain and nervous system in interaction with the rest of the body. So knowing something about how the brain is organized helps us understand how it functions. We don't care that much per se about the physiology and anatomy of the brain, except in so much as that will inform us or allow us to think about how the brain functions. So if students know generally what parts of the brain do what, and, for example, that there is a part of the brain that does something, then if they, for example, become a clinical psychologist, they encounter a patient who's having a particular set of issues, and they know that behavior relies on a particular brain area, they might be in a position to refer that person out to a neurologist or a neuropsychologist who could try to diagnose whether maybe they have some kind of a structural brain issue, a tumor or something going on. Being able to see the brain kind of gives you an idea of where the different parts are. And when it comes time to discuss function, it helps out a lot. So, for example, I was showing them the precentral and postcentral gyri in the brain. The precentral gyrus is the part that produces voluntary movement. The postcentral is the part that monitors the state of our body, including the position of our limbs in space. And by seeing how closely connected they are, how near they are to each other on the actual brain, we can understand how those two different structures interact with each other. It's very convenient for them to talk to each other. In producing a movement, we have to monitor the location of the limb. So the part that produces the movement speaks very directly to the part that monitors the location of the limb because they're right next to each other.